it is Ryan Seacrest here, and if you're looking for some serious fun, head over to ChumbaCasino.com. At Chumba Casino, you can play all your favorite social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. It's the most fun you can have on your phone or computer.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
And welcome into the Wednesday edition, Robbie and Rexroad, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rexroad, Nick Kieser here with you on this Wednesday morning, brought to you by First Horizon. Big bank muscle, small bank hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get it all. And I don't even know if I can ask Joe Rexroad how he's doing, because I think I know. Joe, I'm sorry. It's a tough day for you here.
Yeah.
Nick Westbrook-Ikhine.
Oh, that one.
The Dolphins.
I thought you were talking about something else. Yeah, like the excitement about basketball. Yeah, that's a tough one with Nick Westbrook-Ikhine. I'm actually more disappointed. I didn't think he'd be here. I thought he'd be in New England. I now join those who think that Mike Vrabel's going to lose. I mean, Mike Vrabel should have picked up with Nick Westbrook-Ikhine. It's the most obvious thing in the world. He got Landry and, you know, who else did he get up there? He's got, well, I mean, he obviously got like coaches
Hooper
and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Austin Hooper up there.
Yeah.
I feel like there's somebody I'm not thinking of, but seemed like a no-brainer. But no, I'm still doing really well today. I will say though, I think that the shirt I'm wearing may be a little too tight for me. See, Katie got me a couple extra large shirts. Yeah, I was like, "What's your size? Extra large," but they're slim fit.
Ah, yes.
I should never have slim fit shirts. So I'm trying to wear a nice shirt to SC Turner today.
She's just trying to help you out with the TV shows, man. You know, you just never know.
Well, it doesn't help me out with TV shows if I look like a pig in a blanket, like a squeeze. I mean, look here. If you're watching,
is that the same shirt that you wore on Paul Feinbaum? Maybe not. I don't know.
Could be. I don't know. Well, when he was here,
uh-huh.
I mean, maybe. I don't
maybe.
Know. Maybe. I've had a lot of shirts. This is like my, but then they get old. So just look at me right here, if you're viewers.
I think it's looking good.
I think you're fine.
I mean, it's a little squeezing, man. It's squeezing a little tight. Do I want to walk around? We got four basketball games today at Bridgestone. Four basketball games.
That's a lot.
So that's like two. You know, now they last about 2.5 hours, and then there's a half hour between games. So you do the math. I mean, I don't know, man. I have a backup bigger shirt in the car.
That's good.
Yeah. So we'll see. I'll ask Kaharski if this makes me look fat.
I'm sure he'll give you a nice level-headed response.
Yeah, he'll be very gentle, kind.
I'm sure he will. We will have Paul Kuharski with us later in the program. We'll get into all things Titans and NFL free agency with him. NWI does end up with the Dolphins. That is not necessarily the spot that I had him pegged. I thought, you know, New England did make a lot of sense from actually a lot of different standpoints, but not the case, but Westbrook-Ikhine going down to be the newest member of the Miami Dolphins. What's he getting? 3.5? It's less than 3.5, isn't it?
Well, it's 2 years, 6 something, I think. Then it's 3.5 guaranteed.
3.5 guaranteed.
So okay. Yeah, he's getting 3 a year. He'll play both those years of the deal. Get the whole deal. Yeah, I mean, good for him. You know, pick up $6 million here from a career that. Again, if you were there for that first camp with Nick Westbrook-Ikhine here, you would have said, that guy will never play a snap in the NFL. And it's amazing that he played a snap of college football. And good for him. I mean, seriously, like he couldn't catch the football.
Yeah.
It's like, wow. And that guy has worked. He is maxed out, man. That guy is maxed out.
He is. So congratulations to NWI. A sad day here on our program. I mean, immediately when this happened yesterday, Joe, I had people tweeting me, asking if you were okay.
Yeah.
I was like, I'm probably not. I don't know what to say.
Again, like, I've assumed that he was moving on, you know? So I was actually excited, as we've talked about, like, for the New England Patriots announcement. It's like, yes, this makes sense. Aaron Brewer, you know, NWI, Cody Hollister. Dr. Jack now. Apparently,
yes.
The Titans didn't tender him, right? I don't think they tendered him. Dr. Jack, Gibby, get up there to New England.
It does make you wonder, like, outside of Calvin Ridley, who in the world's playing receiver for this team? I have no idea.
Well, for sure. I mean, look, you could definitely make the case for the Titans, and all, like, as much as we joke about NWI and everything, you know, guy who had 9 touchdowns last year, that, like, yeah, again, like, a 3/4 for you who can plug in wherever you need it whenever inevitably someone gets hurt. Pretty valuable.
Yeah, I mean, Treylon Burks is still on the roster. I mean, I guess right now he's in the mix at some point.
I guess, man.
But I mean, they're gonna have to draft a couple guys here.
Well, they're gonna sign someone.
They're gonna sign somebody. But like, if you want your receiving core to be like have a pulse to it, like you're gonna have to draft a couple guys.
Yeah, you know, they've had some years where like the sort of like the either UDFA or just like, you know, real bottom of the barrel free agency, like Marcus Johnson that year, remember?
Yeah.
And it was like, I mean, actually,
in a 100-yard game,
he was good. Like, he could not stay healthy, and that's, you know, again, the story of a lot of guys. But I mean, I feel like it's going to have to be some guys like that on top of, you're right. I mean, if they draft two receivers, I think that would make total sense. It's just the other needs are also there too. I mean, there's a lot of signings that come with the Titans, you know, and that'll help kind of tell the story. But obviously they're not doing much here early.
No, they're not. They did sign Panthers or former Panthers safety Xavier Woods yesterday, 2-year, $10 million deal for him. So you've addressed the safety spot. Javon Holland signs with the Giants yesterday, which was reportedly a player that the Titans were interested in that Cam Wolf threw out there. But they do land a safety in Xavier Woods. And the biggest thing about him is he's been incredibly healthy and durable over his career. So you like that part of it heading into to Nashville here. But it looks like Woods, Hooker, the safety duo this year for the Titans.
Yeah, and Woods is a good player, solid player. That's a solid sign. They had to do something. You know, they have to – well, you know, again, you can fill in the depth there with some journeymen. You got some other guys, you know, around still. I would not hate at some point a drafted safety, you know, for the Titans. But, again, it's like keep going down the list and tell me how many picks they have, and then let's do the math on what they, you know, what they can do and what they can't do.
Well, we keep talking. I mean, they can use a lot of picks.
They could.
Which you're probably not going to get if you draft Cam Ward, number one overall.
Yeah, you're going to get more picks if you don't, I think.
I think. We'll see what happens with the Giants and the quarterbacks and all those things. But it's an interesting spot that the Titans are in right now. So they get the safety together there. They're still, when you're looking at the totality of the moves right now, and there's just not a ton. Titans Twitter freaking out yesterday, Joe. Ryan Stonehouse let go by the Tennessee Titans, which came out, I guess, in the afternoon yesterday, and it's like, okay, what's going on here? They reach a deal with Johnny Hecker after that to come in and be the punter. So a punting switch for the Tennessee Titans. Stonehouse is out. Hecker is in. Your thoughts?
Well, the Stonehouse out thing stunned me. I've seen a lot of conversation. Yeah, you know, there were some things that it's got worse last year. I mean, there's always the question of will he ever develop that touch? And also, with the injury, is he the same guy since the injury, you know?
Right.
So, but I mean, to me, he's still, I know that his, not net, but his gross punting was still pretty close last year to what it was pre-injury. But the Hecker thing is a reunion with Fassel, which is weird because I didn't think coaches on this staff were part of the personnel decision. It's just a weird coincidence probably, right?
Yeah, I guess sometimes it just works out that way.
Huh. But, yeah, I mean, look, obviously – the Hecker follow-up makes it less of a head-scratcher.
Right.
I still feel like Stonehouse, though, could end up being one of those guys in this league who, you know, is just one of the top guys. He has to put it all together. Maybe he won't. I mean, at what point do you know, at what point do you know something like that? Like, how much can a punter improve?
Yeah.
Like, basically the short game, you know, as they advance in their career.
Well, it's that, and I think one thing we've talked about with him, too, and I think the coaching staff has brought this up, is like that the hang time had needed to get better.
Yeah.
Like, he was pretty consistently just booting the ball and outkicking his coverage, and that did not help with the massive special teams problems and coverage that they had throughout this thing. So maybe they just looked at it and said, yeah, we just don't think he can do it. Like, we don't think that he gives us the best chance to go down there and cover some punts. And,
yeah,
you know, I think maybe that's part of it. But he's got a huge leg, obviously.
Yeah, and I mean, look, it has been a problem at times. There's no doubt, and it's been costly in some games. And it's great when you can hit a laser 75 yards. But yeah, if you're hitting it on a line, then you're sometimes giving your opponent a chance to do things that you can't let them do as a punter.
Adam in Portland on the text line says, feels like we're close to locking up the number one pick for next year. Fun roster.
And a throw-up emoji also with it.
It's looking great out there, guys.
Yeah, this is an interesting, I'm very interested to hear what Kaharski says later. I mean, look, I don't necessarily automatically hate a team not being super active. I also can never blame any team's fans when they aren't, for being at least a little bit concerned.
Yeah.
Because obviously there are a lot of good players flying around and signing contracts. So it's going to come down to what these guys are able to uncover, and it seems like maybe they've already sort of run into a wall at linebacker and safety and had to go down the list a little bit. That happens. Again, I think if you're the Titans, it's more likely that it happens when you're as bad as they were. But there is a long way to go.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. Titans and NFL free agency marches on. What do you make of what the Titans have done to this point? What is still something you'd like to see them do? Plus a report yesterday that I saw related to the Titans that made me say, that'd be interesting. We'll get into that. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. We are live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville studios. Home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Taking your thoughts on the Titans and NFL free agency. Joe, I saw a tweet out there from Ben Valin yesterday, who we've talked about and may have had, I think we've had on this program before. Back in the, is Mike Vrabel going to go to the Patriots days before Mike Vrabel actually ended up going to the Patriots? He is a senior NFL writer at the Boston Globe. He put this out there last night around 5:12 p.m. Keep an eye on Carson Wentz and the Titans. That's what Ben Valin had to say. And I said, okay. The Wentz wagon, maybe, and the Tennessee Titans. It has not happened yet, obviously, so, I guess we can keep our eye on it until it happens. But what do you make of that Ben Valin threw out there of keep your eye on Carson Wentz and the Tennessee Titans?
Yeah, I'm gonna file that under the Aaron Rodgers, Russell Wilson things that weren't real. Again, there's another thing. Looking forward to ask Kaharski about. Man, I mean, Ben Valin, he had some of the reporting on Vrabel when they had the contract in place with what's his name? VFL, Gerard Mayo. So, Titans fans, I think you should hope he's wrong on this one. I don't see the point. Carson Wentz is not, Carson Wentz is, to me, not who I want as a backup. And he's not who I want as a starter, for sure. So, I don't really want him as any sort of quarterback on any, I don't want him in any spot on the depth chart.
I do not want him as a starter. I do not want him around.
Yeah, I mean, I'm fine. If you could carry four QBs, I'd be cool with Carson Wentz. But that's a weird one. There's also Mason Rudolph talk. There's some talk about the Titans. Guy whose name eludes me, who has his own site in Pittsburgh, reported that the Steelers have reached out to Rudolph about possibly coming back. So a fight over Mason Rudolph, possibly. And again, Mason Rudolph, I understand, he wasn't great when he had to start last year. I think Mason Rudolph as a backup is fine.
He's fine.
If you have a starter.
Yeah, a legitimate starter. And if he's your backup, then I think that's fine. I don't know that if the Titans draft Cam Ward, bringing Mason Rudolph back, would I be okay with that? I mean, I guess. I mean, Jacoby Brissett, by the way, is now off the table.
I missed that
yesterday by Arizona. So.
Okay.
He's a backup in Arizona.
He's going to end up playing for every team in the league.
I think he might. He's making the rounds. So you could take another backup quarterback target, which I would have enjoyed, off the list there. Wentz, the one thing I'll say about him, he was in Kansas City this past year, so obviously Borgonzi knows him. So
did he make some sort of impression on Borgonzi where he feels like he could either be the backup quarterback or be the starter until Cam Ward's ready to start next year or whoever you draft? I don't know, maybe. I lean more with you. Like, I don't know that Carson Wentz is the type of backup quarterback that I want. You know, I talked about Will Levis earlier in the offseason about, like, I need my backup quarterback to be able to come in and you're not scared to death that they're turning the football over all the time. I don't know that Carson Wentz necessarily accomplishes that.
Right. Just like Jameis Winston doesn't.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah, you want the safe game manager type, I think.
I'd probably get over it for Jameis, though.
Right. I mean, there's at least with Jameis, there's fun to be had. With Carson Wentz, I don't think there's any fun at all in any way. Like, there's no fun. There's nothing good. Sure, he's a nice guy. But, yeah, that is – but it's a, you know, it's a good point about Borgonzi, and sometimes that does influence things like this. Yeah, just that one doesn't excite me. Mac Jones.
He's still out there.
Any other – is there any other team being mentioned? Like, is there anybody me mentioned with Mac Jones?
Not really. Not that I've seen.
I mean, he's better. Like, I would for example, we're talking about Wentz. I would quickly go to Mac Jones just because of his youth over a Wentz and hoping that there's still some runway there, right?
You would think. Let's head to our 1025 The Game phone line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in Roy to the program. Roy, good morning. Thanks for calling in.
What's up, guys? So, you know, obviously, you know, last couple, 2 days or whatever, you know, Titans hadn't been super aggressive, you know, throwing the money at, you know, the better named players, the position players. I mean, obviously left tackle is probably one that doesn't come available very often to be a stud player to throw that money at. But the way I see it, they've got so many holes to fill. And we're all speculating, well, they didn't do a lot, and we need a quarterback, so we're obviously going to go ahead and get Ward. I don't see that. I think, you know, I don't know. I'm speculating that Rodgers is probably going to end up in Pittsburgh. Mason Rudolph will probably be his backup. We're going to sit there with just Will Levis sitting there on the roster, you know, just by himself. I feel like those guys, you know, the Giants are going to be out there, you know, desperate for the quarterback, and they're going to probably want to jump up to get that one. So I really feel like this is going to be one of those things where Titans probably end up trading that pick because they need so many other holes to fill. And hopefully they get a King's ransom this year, not later, for draft picks. And who knows who we're going to be throwing the ball to. I'll hang up and listen to see what you guys think. Tighten up.
Thanks, Roy. Appreciate it. Well, I think we're going to find out, like, how desperate are the Giants? That's one question I'm going to have is, let's say it plays out the way that we think it's going to, and Rodgers ends up in Pittsburgh. Okay, we'll take Rodgers off the board for the Giants. So do they pivot to Russell Wilson at that point? Because honestly, like, if it's not Russell Wilson, are they going to make, like, Mac Jones their starting quarterback? Like, that feels like you're just basically going back into the Daniel Jones experiment at that point. Like, so does that create desperation there? Do the Giants, like, love Cam Ward? Like, do the Giants want to move up and get Cam Ward? I think there's been a lot of assuming that they do. But do they actually want to move up and go get him? I don't know. That would be good for the Titans either way. Like, even if the Titans are totally interested in Cam Ward, if the Titans are interested in Cam Ward and they want to take him, it doesn't matter what anybody else thinks. But if they're not, it would be great for the Giants to be in a spot where they are desperate.
Yeah, look, first of all, with Roy, like, I haven't changed at all on, like, Cam Ward. Like, if the Titans are doing this because it's like, well, got to have a QB, and he's the best QB, and so let's do it, then I think that they're screwed. You know? And if they take Cam Ward because they've gone through this process and they have conviction that he's that guy, then okay, then there you go. You're tying your tenure here to that,
yep.
and that's fine. I'm still, just from what I know, I'm still totally on board of you got to get out of there and you try to get Abdul Carter or Travis Hunter, and it sucks for next year, you know? And the question of then who the heck is playing quarterback is a great question, but I would prefer that path because I tell you what, you look at, you know, everybody's complaining about the roster now, Adam and Portland, they're going to improve it, but bring Cam Ward in. I mean, the way things are shaping up, and, you know, we're going to talk about the left tackle debate and all that stuff. I mean,
It's a rough roster, man.
Yeah.
Right now, it's looking like a – and so this is not setting up a rookie quarterback for success right now, in my opinion.
Look, again, free agency is not finished. We haven't even gotten to the draft. But right now, they got Calvin Ridley and basically no other wide receivers. They have Arden Key and basically no other edge rushers. I mean, it's a heck of a spot. They have no right guard at the moment. It's a heck of a spot that they're in right now.
And again, you have this opportunity with the pick you have to really address it and get down, get a great player, get what you think will be a great player prospect, and get more picks and improve your roster. Or you use that on a quarterback. And again, look, if he's that guy, okay, you know. But if it's an inkling of, well, there's just no great options, and I mean, he is the top quarterback. So, like, that to me is that you're gonna stay bad. You're just gonna stay bad.
Mo on the text line says, "Can you guys talk about the safety they got for $10 million, and they couldn't pay $6 million to NWI?"
Yeah, Mo. Get him, Mo.
I will say, when I saw the price tag that NWI got, I was like, really? Like, it's, you couldn't give him a little bit more than that if you're the Titans?
Yeah.
Now, look, and again, I think we always lose sight of this in these discussions. I understand that Nick Westbrook-Ikhine has said all the right things, and he's talked about how much he likes it here, and you know his roots are here and all those things. When it comes down to it, I think sometimes it's hard not to look around and say, good gracious, we've done a lot of losing here, and I don't know if it's going to get a lot better. Maybe the grass is greener somewhere else.
Yeah. Yeah, and
maybe he did.
And as much as he made plays for the Titans last year, I mean, I don't know. I mean, Brian Callahan or if Brian Callahan has a say, you know, may have a different vision for that receiver room. It's just there are so many spots to fill right now.
Yeah.
And you know that guy fills a spot. You want it to be lower than it has been, but still, he fills a spot and can jump up when needed.
I think a lot of Titans fans are disappointed that they've not been more active than they've been. I understand the disappointment, as you pointed out earlier. I also, like, going back, heading into this whole thing, like, we talked about how the general consensus on this free agent class is it's not very good. So are you more willing, I guess, to be a little bit more patient with the fact that they've not been super active? With that in the backdrop of knowing that the general thought process from pretty much everybody you talk to in the football world was that this free agent class isn't all that great.
Yeah, I guess the question is, okay, so then are the nether regions of the free agent class okay?
Well, yeah. I mean,
because that they are going to sign people. They have to. I mean, the disappointment would be if they like are really, truly inactive. And I don't think they will be. But Mike Borgonzi basically publicly guaranteed they won't be.
Right.
He said they're going to try. So, okay, we just lose our power.
I don't know what's going on happening here. Right now.
We lost some of our power. So I don't know. You know, I feel like it's fine. I think it's fine. Especially like, did you address left tackle well?
Right.
If you did, then you've already done a big thing. But of course, you would be more excited about, you know, them getting one of the edges right now, or even one of the top guards that are off the board and they haven't done it. And also, like I said, I mean, they have, I think, pretty clearly lost out on some of the defensive players they've pursued. This happens. But like for Mo, I mean, I understand what you're saying, Mo, but they had to get a safety. I mean, they had to.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, I thought they were getting ready to spend a big time money at safety, right? Like Javon Holland, I thought they were getting ready to really go after him and spend a lot of money. You know, the contract that they gave Woods, not really all that much money. Like, I mean, you're talking 2 years, $10 million.
Right.
I mean, it's not a huge investment level there. We'll have more on the Titans and NFL free agency coming up next. We'll get back into the Latham and left tackle debate as our power continues to just go nuts in here. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Tune in to 102.5, 106.3, the game for Vanderbilt men's basketball as the number 12-seeded Commodores take on 13-seed Texas in the SEC men's basketball tournament. Tip off at 2:30, pregame beginning at 2 o'clock. Coverage also available on the 102.5 The Game app and at thegamenashville.com. Robbie and Rex Road, here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game, brought to you by First Horizon. Big bank muscle, small bank hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get it all. Taking your thoughts on the Titans and NFL free agency. Ty on the text line says, don't sign people to win the offseason. We did that last year. Sign what you think truly makes you better and draft. The fewer holes we fill, the more I see us trading the pick. It's setting up for Levis part two. We've had a couple of that, a couple of those thoughts today. I will be stunned if Will Levis is the starting quarterback for the Titans next year. I know that there's this growing sentiment among Titans fans that that's what it's going to be. Like, I don't see a scenario where Will Levis is a starting quarterback next year. I mean, I guess if, like, Mac Jones and every quarterback on the market tells you no, then yes.
And you're not – and you haven't already talked yourself into Cam Ward.
And you haven't already – yeah, right. Exactly.
Yeah.
But I just – this idea that they're just going to be like, yeah, just trot Levis back out there. Like, with the way that they've talked about this and some of the comments that Brian Callahan has made, like, they're done with Will Levis. Like, whether he's on the roster or not, he's not going to be the starting quarterback next year.
No, I agree. I don't think so either. Yeah, that's the threading the needle of they just whiff on Mac Jones, whoever that they were. Carson Wentz, my God. I keep saying that, and it still hurts my brain. But whatever. They whiff on their possibilities, and they don't want one of these rookies. And they're able to, you know, whatever, the trade out, or even they can't trade out, and they take a non-quarterback, and then it's basically down to, well, okay. But I agree. It's really hard to buy that's in their mindset of Levis. Now, Ty, I hear what Ty's saying. Don't sign people to win the offseason. We did that last season. First of all, a couple things. Let's remember that Chad Brinker was here last season, okay? I know everybody wants to – now, everybody wants to believe that Rand was actually in charge. His collaboration was actually Rand. He was the bad guy. You know, he made all the bad choices. You know, the Titans offseason last year, yes, it was exciting, and yes, it didn't work out. And so now, in retrospect, people want to go back and say, they were just throwing crap at the wall. They were signing players that filled needs, were they not? I mean, things didn't work out. You know, Chidobe Awuzie, it didn't work out. The guy... and he had some injuries, so that was worth, you know, second-guessing at the time. But still, that made sense. The Snead trade didn't work out. I mean, they still need it to work out this year. But, like, you're telling me that wasn't a need? I mean, they signed people last year and drafted people that made sense on paper. When things don't work out, then we want to retroactively go back and say, they were just – yeah, they were just making stuff up. I mean, I think there was logic to what they were doing. It just didn't work out. So I hear what you're saying. Like, your fan bases, again, they get upset when teams don't get going right away in free agency. And it's not always the smart thing to do. Sometimes the smart thing to do is to stay away from the big ticket items and then go smaller. Again, the Commanders serve as a pretty good example last year. But, I mean, I just, again, this kind of Monday morning quarterbacking of last year's offseason. Like, when things don't work out, it doesn't always mean that they were poorly conceived in the beginning.
I got one texter asking, so are the Titans just not going to have a pass rush this year? I'm looking at free agents that are still out there and available. So Joey Bosa is now off the board. He signed with Buffalo yesterday. So the idea of him going to San Francisco and teaming up with his brother, that did not happen. Buffalo is where he's ended up. So looking at some players at edge rusher that are still out there and available. Von Miller, who's not coming to the Titans. We talked about him the other day. I mean, to me, if he's still playing, he's going to be playing for a team that can compete. Za'Darius Smith is out there. Preston Smith is out there. You've got DeMarcus Walker. And then a bunch of dudes. It's just a bunch of dudes out there. Dante Fowler Jr., Darrell Taylor, former Vol, out there. Like, there's not a ton of great options on the edge rusher free agent part of this.
I mean, you have to get some of them.
Yeah.
Yeah, you have to. To me, a couple of those names you said, sure. You know, again, it's not exciting, but you have to fill out your roster, you know, and hope that you can get some better play. I mean, some of those guys have had you know, good moments. God, Ojulari was first-round pick not long ago. What was that, 3 years ago?
Yeah.
Right? But obviously it hasn't worked out for him, so Yeah, I mean, you're gonna have to fill it out because some of these young, you know, guys that they've taken shots on really haven't materialized. And then because of the class, that's the one spot I could guarantee that and receiver. Like they have to draft both things, right?
Yes.
Like this is what, like where again, good teams you draft best available. That's that. But like sometimes you have to address need. I mean, those needs are just too severe, I think, to not address in the draft.
Well, the one thing, as far as the pass rusher part of this, it's a pretty deep class at edge rusher. Like, even if it's not Abdul Carter at number one, let's say they take Cam Ward, and they're not picking again until 35 after that. Like, you're probably going to be able to find a pretty good player at 35 for an edge rusher,
yes,
just based on the class. And the way,
apparently,
and the way
James Pierce will be sitting there.
You might be able to find James Pierce in the fourth round, depending on where things are going right now. So I think you're going to be able to find somebody in the draft to come in and immediately play for you. Now, how impactful is a rookie going to be, particularly if it's not, you know, a high, high pick? Like if you're talking a second rounder, whether it's a Jack Sawyer or a Kyle Kennard from South Carolina, like can they come in and be impactful immediately? Like you have Arden Key, who's not, like, I don't want Arden Key starting. He may have to this year, which is still not great for the Titans. But can you get somebody, let's say you're going Cam Ward at one, can you get somebody in the second round that could come in and be immediately impactful trying to get after the quarterback? They really need to identify that.
Yeah, I think you can. I think there are going to be edge players who go through the first two rounds. Some of them are going to be absolute instant impact. You got to make, you know, the right choice, but right. Yes, that will be available, I believe. So,
James Pierce is undrafted free agent.
Yeah. All right, I guess James, you can do a tryout. You can do that tryout weekend.
And we'll wow, he's him. Really falling down the board here.
Well, this guy's pretty good.
He doesn't want to be coached by anyone.
My gosh, you know, I'm kidding, man. John from McMinnville says, Joe, we didn't need to trade for a cornerback that everyone knew had bad needs. No, I'm not saying you needed to make that trade, but look, there was a lot of excitement when that trade was made. You know, again, I was like, wow, that's a big signing. I know how it worked out. I mean, we can look at it right now and say, yeah, that was a disaster, and you gave up a pick for it. So I understand, you know, and Borgonzi's over there like, ah. Yes, Rand, let's talk. But that you needed, I was just saying you needed corners.
Yes.
You know? You needed good players. You need great players. He was a great player the year before with the Kansas City Chiefs. Like it or not, he was a great player with the Kansas City Chiefs the year before. So, again, we'll see. I mean, we know what last year was. You sure as heck hope that it's not just over for him. It might be.
Joey from Bellevue wondering if we agreed to wear blue polo shirts this morning or if it's just a coincidence.
It is a coincidence.
It is.
Different shades, at least.
Different shades.
Maybe Kaharski will make it a trio. Let's hope.
Maybe so. Maybe so. We'll see.
Some of his little PaulKaharski.com sweatshirts are blue, aren't they?
They are.
Yeah.
We'll see what happens.
All right.
615-737-1025, our phone number. More coming up next on the Titans and NFL free agency. A couple more thoughts to get into on the J.C. Latham front. We'll do that. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Herb in Kentucky says, if the Titans are not interested in keeping NWI, I am no longer interested in being a Titans fan.
Wow.
This is from Herb in Kentucky on the text line.
We thought we loved NWI.
You know, the A.J. Brown thing, the trade, that's one thing. Being a horrendous football team the last 2 years, I can live with that. But NWI not coming back, that's the final straw.
That's the deal breaker.
I respect it, Herb.
I do too, Herb. I mean, a lot of people are upset about it, you know.
I get it.
And, you know, like Weston Clarksville asks, you know, why not? Why in the hell could they not pay a little bit of money and keep him? Or was it NWI didn't want to be here? And, yeah, you said it, you know, earlier, Robbie, maybe. You lose enough at a place, and, you know, again, this coaching staff changed. He did have some success last year with this coaching staff and in this offense.
Yeah.
And with Will Levis throwing in the football and Mason Rudolph sometimes. But, you know.
Well, and to be clear, I don't know what I don't know what the Titans offered him. I don't know if the Titans offered him anything. I don't know exactly how this went down.
That would be disappointing if they didn't have any inkling to keep him. That would be disappointing.
I would agree.
That's dumb.
But like, I think we always view this through the lens of, well, if you just offered him so-and-so, they'd be here.
Right.
Like, people say that about Derrick Henry all the time,
exactly.
too. And it's like, well, maybe. Like, Derrick Henry may have looked at it and said, you know what? I love my time here. I don't really want to play here anymore. Like, I want to go somewhere where I can win. And I think we too often discount the possibility where guys can look around and say, yeah, I think I'd like to go try something else right now and see if there's a little bit more winning that takes place.
Yeah.
That's what happens when you're a bad franchise, which right now the Titans are.
Exactly. Yeah, and like for Derek, obviously it was also, boy, losing and just running into eight guys before I even get to the line of scrimmage. Maybe I'd like to change that up a little bit.
And also, to be clear, I'm not comparing Derrick Henry and NWI.
Aha! Let's both
just,
future.
Just make sure that's known as well.
Future Titans Ring of Honor members.
Could be.
Both of them. But no, I don't know, because it's not like the Dolphins. Yeah, I mean, honestly, if you told me that somebody out there gave him like 8 to 10 for 2 years, it sounds ridiculous, but like that's what happens sometimes in free agency. I would have believed it. I mean, this money is not it shouldn't be prohibitive, but yeah, maybe it was more on his side. Like, yeah, I'm gonna go just check it out, see what's out there.
And again, I don't know, but I think too often we just don't think about that as being a possibility. We had a lot of discussion yesterday about Dan Moore Jr. coming in to play left tackle and J.C. Latham moving over to the right side. Trevor Maddich was on with Stillman and Company yesterday and offered some of his thoughts on the acquisition of Dan Moore Jr. Here's what Trevor Maddich had to say. I think we're waiting on the Trevor Maddich clip.
Yeah, actually, yeah, we can. I actually told him 7 o'clock hour, so it was kind of my fault.
Okay, that's fine.
Yeah.
That's fine. I mean, he just said he had it ready, but that's fine.
Yeah.
We'll keep going.
Yeah,
we'll get back.
We'll get
Maddich's thoughts. So the Dan Moore part of this, a lot of discussion even after the show yesterday of Latham moving to the right side. What does that mean for how the Titans evaluate him? So it's got – you're taking a look at – he was drafted less than a calendar year ago to be the left tackle. Now, I went back and I read some of Brian Callahan's comments, some of Rand Carthon's comments, some of Bill Callahan's comments in the immediate aftermath of the draft. And it was basically all about how they feel very confident that Latham is able, with the skill set that he brings, to move from the right to the left. And it's like, okay. Did they ever come out and say, like, we expect him to be a franchise foundational left tackle? I don't think so. Like, I can't find those specific quotes. But it's clear that they wanted him to be the left tackle. I said it yesterday. I stand by it now. I don't love this. Like, it does not speak well to me that a year into this, you've already pivoted off of that. Like, you're drafting him 7 overall, and you're talking in the immediate aftermath about how he's got the requisite skill set to go do it. And now you're bringing in Dan Moore Jr., who has been a left tackle. You're paying him a lot of money to do the job and moving Latham back to the right. Again, if Latham ends up being a stud right tackle, is it a big deal that they've done this? No. But I also think, like, they're like, well, they just went and got a free agent left tackle. Of course you'd move him over to the right side. It's like, well, it'd be one thing if you were, like, bringing in Trent Williams in his prime to come play left tackle. I don't think that anybody's confusing Dan Moore Jr. for that. So it's a really fascinating discussion on the J.C. Latham part of this right now to me. What does this mean? How do you view this if you're the Titans? Is this and the question I threw out there yesterday, is this a misevaluation of his ability to play the left side? Or is this them looking at him and saying, maybe he's not as good as we thought?
Yeah. I think it has to be, again, even though I think we can all agree that J.C. Latham at right tackle is immediately an improvement over what NPF did last year, and that's huge, right? But it's still, I mean, both things can be true. You can have an overall collective improvement, which I think this is, I just don't know how much it is.
Right.
It needs to be significant. I think it will be on the right side. My question is it significant on the left side? Which we all agree that's more important, right? If you have a right-handed quarterback. So I don't know. But the point that you make, I mean, still, it has to at least be somewhat a miss on J.C. Latham. If you believed that he is that guy and that's his future, then, you know, either you sign Dan Moore and you move him to the right side, or you sign somebody else. You sign a right tackle.
Right.
And I know that there weren't a ton out there. Vrabel, I think they did well at right tackle, and that's who we talked about a lot for the Titans. But, yeah, it has to be some level of miss on Latham, some level of disappointment in what unfolded with Latham last year.
And again, that doesn't mean he can't be a good right tackle.
Right.
But I think if you're being honest with yourself, if you're a Titans fan, and we would have told you after draft day last year that, hey, a year from now he's not going to be a left tackle, he's going to be back on the right side, I don't think Titans fans would have loved that. So again, if he's a great right tackle, then I'll live with it. It's fine. Like, you can hopefully Dan Moore Jr. works out on the left side and Latham turns into an all-pro level right tackle. But I think the way that I feel about this, like, I feel like the reaction from Titans fan to him just moving back to the right side is a little too nonchalant on this thing. Maybe it's me. Maybe I'm overreacting. But to me, it at least says that there's been a misidentification on what he can do. Like, they clearly thought he could play the left side at a very high level, or they wouldn't have drafted him and done that. And less than a year in, they're like, well, we don't love that anymore. Let's move him to the right. Let's go sign Dan Moore Jr. to be left tackle.
Right. And again, it's like, you know, this is the one area of your team that's been so bad that you now have someone who in every aspect of offensive line play, evaluating guys coming out, evaluating free agents, developing players, putting the puzzle together with five people is supposed to be elite.
Yeah.
You know? So, Bill Callahan last camp, and like after the draft, and you know, like with OTA, whatever it was, he was adamant. Like, he was very confident in Latham and the left side. And so the idea that he would move to the right side, it's not the biggest deal in the world if he's going to be great there. I just, when you consider who has moved him over there, there's my skepticism. So we'll see. Hopefully he proves me wrong.
Noah says, what if this is just the best immediate option to upgrade the line? What was out there in free agency at right tackle? Maybe it's the clearest path forward to maximizing available options without relying on a high draft pick. I get that thought process. My point on this whole thing, like, Dan Moore's not going to be here for a year. He's going to be here for at least two and maybe three. So, like, they're done with Latham at left tackle. Like, I don't know how you can read this any other way. Like, they are done with J.C. Latham at left tackle. This action tells you that. So, again, is it the clearest path forward right now to fixing the line, him playing the right side? Maybe so. But the underlying reasoning and point of all this is, if they felt like he was a franchise left tackle and that he was going to be a pillar as a franchise left tackle, you don't move that guy. It's the most important position on the line. You keep that guy and you figure it out somewhere else. They clearly don't feel that way.
Yeah. I understand. Like, well, the guy who was available, it has to be a left tackle. So you do that. I get it. But yeah, I mean, I think if you can solidify that left side, again, with Latham and Skronsky together, you keep it and you just keep going forward with it. And then, you know, And you do what you can do on the right side. I mean, again, you can't help but be better than Petit Frere on the right side next year. Like, really. A lot of different people I think you could assign you'd be better at right tackle.
You would.
Yeah, Latham, maybe a lot better. And that's great, but I now question, okay, so what is the future at left tackle? Hugely important position, and as we'll get to, the range of opinion is pretty interesting on him.
There is a lot of opinion. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. More coming up next on Titans and NFL free agency. Plus, Paul Kuharsky from paulkuharsky.com will be with us later in the program. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Game night's fun until someone spends 5 minutes lining up one shot. Chalk.
breathe, rechalk. Still aiming. While they figure it out, I fire up Chumba Casino. I can spin anywhere, anytime, and there's always a new social casino game every week. Spins happen way faster than that shot. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.